This is a HeadGum Podcast.
Here we go. The final installment of Arc 10 is here. Thank you so much, the wonderful GM, Zach Oyama. I hope that you've enjoyed it, and I hope you're looking forward to Arc 11. But I just wanted to go ahead and say a huge and massive and resounding thank you to all of you for listening to these episodes and making what was a really incredibly successful 2024. I think you'll be listening to this well into the new year, so apologies for the slightly late one. I'm recording this pre-new year. But it has just been an utterly fantastic and amazing year, and the success of the show has been beyond my dreams, and I just wanted to say a huge thank you to all the people that have listened to the show, shared the show, reviewed the show. You guys have made a huge difference for both myself and Zach and the Rotators, and I'm so excited to be in the position that next arc we're going to be back with more Rotators, more epic adventures, and I'm going to get to, you know, make sure that, like, some of my really amazing and talented friends keep doing just the best and the coolest stuff ever. So thank you so much for all the time that you've taken to listen to these episodes, and I really hope that you will enjoy the new campaign when that comes out. I know that over on here on the public feed, we've got a little while before the new campaign comes out, but I'm very excited for you guys to continue and to wrap up the story of Amalur over here on the public feed. But without me wittering on any longer, let's go ahead and wrap up Arc 10 of the Rotating Heroes podcast. Zach, take it away, please.
Back to the top, Strundleteet. You see these two enemies before you.
I'd love to attack with the sword.
Yeah, you pick your rapier back up. Go ahead and make your attacks.
Ooh. 19 plus 6, 25.
Cool. So that's hits for sure. Make another attack.
17.
Okay, both hit. Who are you attacking, by the way?
The new beetle.
Okay. You see, everyone sees it's sort of like this, you know, presence take over the room. The confrontation we were all expecting, Strundleteet versus the beetle that bit in the back room, or a similar kind of beetle. They sort of square off, circling up. Strundleteet, you pick up your rapier and you make these two attacks and both land.
I've been beetle bit for the last time.
roll your damage on both.
Yeah, so 9, 7.
9 and 7, still not nothing. You see Strundleteet lash out with his sword. Two strikes, bam, bam, hits him. This is a strong creature, and it is hurt by that a little bit, but it seems like it has a lot of health. But you've done some damage to it. It looks at you kind of like clicking and nasty and smelling the air. Even, I don't know if beetles smell, but it seems like it's smelling air. But zeroes in on you, and I think you know you have its full attention as its nasty claws kind of look at you. Or just kind of zero in on you. After that, Strundleteet, it is back around to Sago.
Wow. This beetle has changed my kind of perspective of what's going on here. I do feel
you're definitely
concerned.
Fully on the beetle side.
And I think I will. Is the beetle considered humanoid or no?
I described it as humanoid, yeah.
Okay. Try to cast Crown of Madness on the beetle.
Oh.
And suggest that it attack its host.
Okay, read me how that spell works.
One humanoid of my choice that I can see must succeed on a wisdom saving throw of 14. While it's charmed, a twisted crown of jagged iron appears on its head, a madness glows in its eyes, and it must use its action before moving to make a melee attack against the creature that I mentally choose.
Okay, so you've chosen her.
Yeah.
The former elven lady, now kind of elongated insect kind of person, is kind of what I was trying to avoid.
It's not a mammal, though, is what you're saying.
Non-mammalian.
Not even mammalian.
Yeah, yeah. So wisdom save, 14?
Yes.
Okay, here we go. Let's roll it in front of the board. Big roll.
Oh, it's a 10. Sorry, 10, actually.
Oh,
that's only a 10?
It's only a 10.
So let's see what they add to their wisdom. Oh, my God. Sago? Something changed in this battlefield to you. You feel like you don't know who to trust, and something tells you that you can trust yourself, and you can make your own fate, and you cast a spell on this sort of beetle humanoid creature. What do you say as the crown of madness forms around the head of this creature?
Your host is your enemy.
My host is my enemy.
Your host must be attacked.
Beetle bite must. The beetle bite might attack thy host. Right.
The beetle bite might attack thy host, right?
Right.
Right.
It kind of face palm, strundle teeth out of the way, and looks at this. Okay. It looks towards its former host, and the host's eyes dart back and forth like that meme of the kid holding the little like water cup that's like being filmed. It was like, what? And it has her full attention. So next turn it has to attack her.
Yes, before it moves or does anything.
Okay, cool. Big roll right there. After that, because this guy's pretty powerful, I should say. Sago, that was your turn. And let's give Kerp another chance to wake up.
He's still asleep.
Kerp, still very asleep.
Probably dreaming honk about his
shoo,
cousin.
Honky, honk, honk, shoo, shoo. That's Kerp's turn. After that, it's the beetle's turn. No, because we go back around the top. The beetle looks at you, Strandal Teat, kind of palms you out of the way, and is going to go for an attack on her. His former host. There, a couple things are happening at once here. You can get, Ryan, you can get an attack of opportunity, which means this guy's kind of leaving your threatened range, so you can just take a swipe at him if you want. Okay. And it doesn't seem like it would affect the spell, so I'm gonna... Yeah, if you want to take just, like, one attack instead of your double attack.
11.
11 total?
Yes.
Okay. So you swing out, sort of miss. This guy just... you pretend like you did a try.
Yeah.
As it goes in and takes an attack on her, and you see it's nasty sort of beetle mandible takes an attack. Ooh, a nat 20.
Oh, no. Toasted.
So, this mandible bite, it's going to roll. Wow, that's a lot of damage. Holy shit. Especially for this fight. So it's a nat 20, so it's doubled. So we're going to roll. It's going to be 2d6 plus 3, but now it's 4d6 plus 3. So let's just roll in front of the board. Not a great roll. So... you see her like look at this thing she just basically birthed and is like, no, hit them, and it's like beetle bite, right? And it's mandibles close in hard on her sides. She like gasps as this thing sort of takes the breath out of her with its like nasty gnashing mandibles hitting her for 18 damage. So that's a lot of damage. She's looking hurt. Okay, so yeah. Deuter, you take your turn now.
When I saw those visions that I saw in her head when I hit her with Mind Sliver, was it stuff that would make a like person like feel bad for killing someone or like for hurting? Like was it like what did I like? Was it like did I see her like getting?
I
like
think
tricked
you,
into being in the same situation as me. Or was it less more abstract?
It was a little more abstract than that, and I think like by being in this person's mind, even if they were a regular person at some point, they're maybe in a situation where they are kind of unrecoverable,
right.
And maybe even enjoy it. So this person feels. I hate to use the phrase "too far gone," but yeah, like, yeah, it feels like this person is enjoying being evil.
Yeah, so I'm gonna stand up and then I'm gonna try to crossbow her in the head.
Do you have spells?
Huh? I do. I used Mind Sliver the last time.
Oh, right.
I don't want to do the same spell twice in a row. I don't have a lot of damage. Spells.
Gotcha. Okay.
I'm not a damage guy. My spells are more utility.
I forget that warlocks have like the two spell slots.
Yeah, I've used them both. I used suggestion. We haven't rested.
Oh, right.
So my warlock
okay,
spell
so your spells are
just
out.
Yeah.
Okay,
so
great.
I can only use cantrips.
Yeah. Do you have Eldritch Blast?
No, I specifically
didn't
want to take it.
Oh, that's so funny that you don't have that.
I specifically didn't want
to
take it.
The one specific spell that is made for warlocks to do damage, you don't have.
I didn't want to do it because everybody does it. I thought it would be more fun to do something else. But yeah, I like stand up and then I like pull out my crossbow and I shoot my crossbow. 10.
a little crossbow bolt just sort of pings off the side of the beetle. He's like, beat a bite. After that, so she's now stuck in this sort of pitch combat with this creature in front of her. Yeah, this is, I'm sorry to do this, Sago, but she is going to use her turn to, like, and, like, you can tell she's casting a spell. She's going to use Dispel Magic on that spell and end it. So it's below, is it below a third level spell?
Yes, it was a second level.
Okay, so that's going to instantly get rid of that, unfortunately. And,
I don't even care.
I mean, it's not a big deal.
You okay, Sago?
I don't care.
Yeah, I didn't mean to roll that. So she uses that spell to take the beetle out of this situation. The beetle is like, huh? Mommy, sorry. And lets her go and looks back to you guys. But that was her whole turn. So now, it was good in that you kept someone from taking a nat 20 from the beetle and made her waste her turn. So that is the end of her turn. We're going back, you know, we kind of did this a little out of order, so we're going to pop back up to Strundleti.
And so what has just happened? The beetle is out of the situation.
Beetle's back in the situation.
Beetle's back in the situation.
Back in, as in against you guys.
Yes, yes. You know, I was really upset by the beetle face-palming me and moving me out of the way. So I want to use my acrobatics to actually just do like a little backflip and I didn't fall over.
Yeah, yeah. Do a give us a roll.
16, and then I have plus 6 acrobatics.
22. So he's just sort of
face... 18, so 24.
But. 24, wow. So you do like... He face palms you, but you do like such a... Almost like a drunken master kind of like roll backwards out of it. Deuter, I think you see... You see, Strenalty, you barely watch him move. This guy's been with you for a while. Yeah. And you see the way that he like flips out of the way is like quite impressive. And in a way that I don't know if you would clock as anything unusual, but like, yeah, he's very dexterous. Yeah. And Strenalty, you're in position to attack whoever you want with that 22.
I want to attack the main lady.
Oh, I will also give you another chance to do a perception or insight check real quick before you do that.
Yeah, like, if this guy just crawled out of her back and now he's neutralized, what is this person? Is it a mammal?
You can roll for that, but I will also, I have something in my mind that I'm being coy about.
Please,
but
please.
But yeah, make the roll and I'll tell you.
What is up with this thing? 16.
Okay.
Perception?
Yeah.
20.
Okay, with a dirty 20, I will say that combined with your acrobatics, as you roll and do this backflip, in the chaos of all this, somehow near your feet, that sword that maybe you were holding on to, Deuter, fell to the ground. And as you do this backflip, you kick it up in the air and you catch it. So now you have two swords. One is a plus one magical sword. Yes. So you have another better sword as well.
Yes.
So I will let you use that one as your offhand when you fight. So you look up, Strundleteet's got two blades in his hands. He's doing some sort of Leonardo from Ninja Turtles moves. Make your attacks.
Heads up, I'm awesome now. 20. Plus,
was it nat 20?
Yeah.
Okay, so that was, let's say that's with the new sword, I guess. Yeah.
Okay.
So you roll double dice on that one, and then roll your other one.
11. Is that plus my... So the last one was a 25, I guess, if it was natural, and then this one is a 16.
Okay, so roll... So you're going to normally roll 2 d8s, now roll 3 d8s on that.
Yeah, okay, so plus 5, so 11.
And this one we won't add in the modifier, but whatever is on that.
3.
So 14, and then we'll do another one with the modifier.
7, so 12.
So 14 plus 12, so 26, 26 damage. And you were, who was that on?
The main lady.
Okay, 26 damage.
Who I don't think is a lady. I think she's an alien.
Mammalian.
She takes a lot of damage. Holy shit. 7.
We're gonna kill this thing.
Pretty cool to be with a real warrior, isn't it?
She's looking woozy right now. It's like just gelatinous kind of like bug guts is coming out of her mouth, and she's like, "What do you mean I'm not a lady?" She is looking bad. But that's a big turn from you. A nice nat 20 for Strundleteep. Strundleteep's first nat 20, I think.
I think so.
Beautiful. We love to see those. and that is, yeah, that's Strundleteep's turn. Since we kind of did this weirdly out of order, and I'm going to roll for something to see if something happens real quick. Okay, not yet.
Not yet.
I saw that guy bite her, and I saw how much damage it did.
Mm-hmm.
And it worries me. I'll say that right now.
You guys hear Saga say that kind of a little farther away from you? Huh? Just sort of plainly say how much.
You sort of thinking out loud?
you could get in the fight with us.
I saw how strong Strundleteed has been so far. It's like he did that one unarmed hit for very little damage, even though he had his weapons, but otherwise he's been very powerful. So I don't want to upset him. So I you know what? I try to cast, I'm really worried about this beetle. I try to cast Rollo themed psychic lance on it.
Ooh. Okay. What's that do?
I unleash a shimmering lance of psychic power from my forehead at the beetle. or I can utter its name. It must make an intelligence saving throw of 14. On a failed save, it takes 7d6 psychic damage and is incapacitated until the start of my next turn. On a successful save, it takes half as much damage and is not incapacitated.
So, okay.
That's a great spell.
On a 17? Okay, this guy's not very smart.
14 is the... Right?
Oh.
14, yeah.
Dude, that's... this guy's... All right, let's see. He rolled a 16 minus his intelligence, which is negative 4.
That's a dumb beetle.
Yeah.
7d6. Okay, let's get a bunch of d6 out and roll that.
That's a huge amount, man.
They're all, everyone's in their baby d6 to school. Here's 6 of them. If you have one more, roll that and tell me what you get. What'd you get?
27.
Wow. Okay. So this beetle, describe how it looks as this beam comes out of Sago and hits this beetle.
Sago looks at the beetle and uses like the psychic idea of what happens after he's eaten too much food. parentheses diarrhea. And he shoots the idea of that right
the
at
the idea
beetle.
Of diarrhea comes out of Saga's forehead.
This newly born beetle that doesn't even know
it doesn't
about really going to the bathroom.
Maybe hasn't used the bathroom yet.
And now it's already being confronted with what that could be like.
Oh, I gotta go!
And it gets hit in the forehead. It takes a tremendous amount of damage. Wow, this guy's also very hurt too. This idea rips through its brain. It's like, I don't like that at all. And I'm going to give Kurt Nat 1 in a deeper sleep than he's ever been.
Can I use my bonus action sleeper to give him like bardic inspiration to wake up?
I will say with the bonus action, you give him the help action. You, yeah. You kind of kick him.
I give him like a, hey, buddy, we're kind of fighting out here.
On a 6, he just rolls over.
This fucking guy.
A couple more minutes. Kind of this freak over here. Loves. Would you rather?
So he does hear you.
Yeah.
I'm awake. I just don't want to do it. So that is Sago's turn. And now the beetle is going to take a turn.
Oh, God.
Beetle. Oh, wait, so what were the other effects of it?
Yeah, he can't. He loses this turn. He's incapacitated to my
turn. God
damn
it. My big evil bad guy can't do anything. he's just like, I'm not stupid, I promise. Just not doing anything at all.
I heard you were really stupid.
Who said?
Kind of God, I guess, is who this
do not
is.
Bite me.
I Well, the only thing I want to do is bite you, but I can't. So that is that. Saga's turn, the Beetle's turn. We're back around to Duder.
Yeah. Seeing what Sago just did, seeing like him use like mental powers to like kill this beetle, I'm like, oh yeah, I can do that too. And then I cast Mind Sliver on the beetle.
Okay.
I try to hit him with that same little thing I did for the.
So you guys are on this beach just going like pew pew yeah. pew.
I saw a beam shoot out of his head, and I'm like, I got the same thing, dude. A
lot of beams coming out of forehead.
Yeah.
Use a sword, you guys.
You feel like you just learned that.
Yeah.
What is it again? Do I roll or do you roll?
It's just a int 14 save.
Yeah, deeply fails.
Stop.
A disorienting spike of psychic stop. Energy skewers the mind
okay.
of the creature.
Roll the damage on that.
It's only 4 damage.
No. Oh. See? I got him.
Yeah, we're the same.
Just like a little bit of an idea of diarrhea comes yeah. out of your forehead. After that, really fucking hurt. It is our, you know, elven patron over here who birthed the guy. It's helpful to think of names before things, but sometimes you kind of have an idea of something and don't give them a very specific name. They will. Who does she hate the most right now? Probably Strundleteeth. Yeah, Strundleteeth. She looks over at you and she's like, "You're ruining everything." And she's like, just, you know, making that sort of noise of casting a spell. Make a constitution saving throw.
2 + 3, so 5. So yeah, 5.
Okay, so this is a nasty one. You see this sort of crackling nasty, it's almost like crackle. Energy. Yeah, crackle nasty. You see, it's almost like this beam, but it's also combined with the kind of oozing bug guts. It's just like a really wretched feeling vibe as she casts something at you that hits you in the chest. You definitely feel this one versus the other ones. I'm going to roll 8d8.
Whoa.
Holy crap.
So you take 35 points of damage.
Oh!
As you are waylaid with this nasty energy.
He has 49, but then we got hit by 5 before. Minus 4 that was.
So you're at 9 HP.
You have 9 HP.
As this thing hits you with this nasty spell. Yeah, but that there are no other specific effects that you are under, but like you just feel sick. You feel like you just got quadruple COVID suddenly.
This is worse than the beetle bite. Almost.
Then after that, we are going to... That was the end of the round, so we're back up to the top. Strundleteeth. She looks really hurt, but so does the beetle, but they're both in front of you, very hurt. You're very hurt. What's going through Strundleteeth's mind?
I can't tell if I have enough energy to do one last swipe with my sword or if I just need to make myself healthier.
Well, you can do one as the fighter thing where you heal yourself is a bonus action, so you can actually do both.
Okay, great. So do that one first?
Sure. Yeah.
0.
Well, that's a
10. That means 10.
Good.
You get 15 HP back, so you're okay. Back up to 24 now.
Okay.
You use your kind of like fighter hardiness, and you just like you're like, I'm not gonna get sick.
Yes. I cough it out.
Yeah, a big phlegm blob just hits the ground, and you can still take your attacks.
17 + 5, 22.
Oh yeah, and who are you hitting? I guess.
I'm gonna go for the lady now.
Okay, great.
I'm not scared of this beetle anymore.
Great. So that hits, and then roll your second attack if you don't mind.
10, so 15.
The first one for sure hits. Let me double check the second one.
So 18.
So as you slash out with your two swords, Strundleteeth, tell me how you finish this bad guy.
Yeah.
Describe how Strundleteeth destroys this disgusting kind of insectoid creature before you that was...
Well, like I always knew, I was the stronger being, so I just walk right up to him, open my arms as wide as I can with both swords, and and shut them together and chop off her head. You have to get the head of the beast.
Strundleteet says you have to get the head of the beast. He looks really sick.
Yeah.
He doesn't look like he's doing
sick.
It.
I'm not sick.
And he coughs up some phlegm and scissors the head off of this creature. And you hear her like, so as you cut the head of this like insect spellcaster warlock creature, as her head separates from her body, it's kind of almost in slow motion. She looks over at you, Duder, and then back at you, Strundleteet, and says to you, Strundleteet, kind of referencing to the beetle before you, and says, "It's a matter of time." And then her head falls into the water and floats down the stream.
Oh, no. You know what I said? Never again. Never again. And I meant that.
Sago, it is your turn.
Ooh, do I know? I probably don't. But just perceiving, like, once this thing's host dies, do I feel like, oh, it could, like, be convinced to join me or anything like that? Do I know anything about it? It's like how to persuade it?
You know, it's really dumb.
Yeah.
You don't think that it was, like, almost like a... It was birthed from this other creature. It probably has some instincts to follow, but who knows? Maybe you could persuade it.
So I like kind of using just like persuasion on it, I guess. I kind of try to call it over and just like feed it a little like snack of leaves out of the ground like you would with a stray cat or something like that.
You'd feed a stray cat some leaves?
Yeah. I'm just feeding it like rocks like you would a dog on the street or something like that.
Oh, now I'm noticing a lot of... You shouldn't... okay, great. Yeah, yeah. Like you would for a dog, you give it some rocks.
Yeah.
Give me a persuasion roll.
Oh, no.
Is that a nat one?
That's a nat one.
I might have a thing with this, but I might be fucked. Oh, no.
Not able to make the one work, huh?
Oh, this probably isn't true for this, but I have silver tongue, which means when I make a persuasion trick, I can treat anything under a 10 as a 10, but I don't know if it would... Nat.
I don't think it worked for a nat one.
Yeah.
I think that's the only thing it doesn't work for.
So, I get down on my knee and I hold up a leaf for it. And I'm like, hey, buddy, it's okay.
So, it looks at the leaf. Beetle bite. And looks up at you. And then looks at the head floating down the river and goes, beetle bite.
No.
It's going to take its turn to bite your head.
No!
I've been there, man.
So has anyone been bitten by... No one's been bitten by this creature
yet. No, just the main bad.
All right.
Oh, no.
So I can tell it didn't work. or do I not exactly
As it
yet?
Bites your head, you're like, I'm pretty sure this...
Oh, it does bite me.
Yeah, let me see, actually. Let's roll. All right. So you don't want this to bite your head. I'll say that. It adds 5 to this roll. That's a 9. You go to feed it leaves. It sniffs it. It almost looks like it's going to take the leaves from your hand, but then its mandibles lash out. And you like almost like a cartoon dash under into your shirt. Like a Kerp looks over and is like, I taught him that.
You're awake?
No, I'm not. I'm going to roll for Kerp, see if he wakes up. 15. So Kerp does get up. He's like, fine. I'm in the battle. So it took its, it would have been pretty devastating if that bit you, possibly if you failed to save. So that is that's turn. It's going to take a talon. Well, actually, yeah, I should make it take its talon attack. That missed as well. Okay. So this guy was supposed to be scary, and he sucks. Sometimes bad guys aren't scary. Sometimes they just suck, and sometimes they just immediately get killed. Yeah, that was the sort of the main bad guy of this arc's turn. Now I'm gonna roll for. I forgot to roll for this earlier, but I'm just gonna. Okay, we're getting very close. Next time, this. I rolled a 16. It was on a 20 it would happen, on a 19 it would happen, and now on a 17 it would happen. So that was one off of happening, whatever this thing is. So that is the end of the bug's turn. Going back around, we are at Deuter.
Yeah. I sensing that this beetle is like on its last leg, I just go, "Hey, Sago. Diarrhea," and then I shoot another mind sliver at it, really hoping that it kills it.
Right. Why'd you say that to Sago?
I'm like, inside my shirt, I kind of heard it muffled. I'm kind of smelling down if I diarrhea.
Yeah, when you know. Said I shoot the idea of diarrhea at this, did you ever say diarrhea?
No.
So
I just heard this from
him. I felt it.
And you were right, but you do seem crazy.
Yeah, that's fine, whatever.
So you, what does he have to roll again? DC 14? 14. He rolled a 10. He does not add 4, he subtracts 4, so he got a 6. And he gets lanced by this mind sliver. How much damage does he take?
7.
Okay. Deuter, as you say diarrhea, what do you do as you defeat this beetle bite?
I kind of do it... I like do it really casually. I just like kind of do a little like tap to the temple. I just like throw it, and then it just like taps him in the head.
So super casually, just kind of tap this creature in the head, the main bad guy of sort of the campaign, and they die. Their head explodes. They diarrhea themselves, and that was their entire life.
He's introduced to the idea that you might have to like diarrhea sometimes. He's like, I don't like that. He hears it a second time, and that kills him.
He diarrheas.
Sort of killed its mom, helped kill its mom, and then, yeah, just kind of died. Didn't really make any sort of lasting impact on anyone here.
He did bite at me once.
Bit at you. Yeah, that's kind of it for this bad guy. So with that, you will... Kerp comes up and hits it with a stick. And then,
yeah, we got him.
With that, you come out of initiative. Kerp's like, did we kill them? Mm-hmm. We all did it.
Mm. Another blessed battle for the four of us.
Or I guess that was the first time the four of us
have
fought.
Yeah, I think so.
But you and I, we have a history. Sago. Wow.
You slept through the whole thing. You were awake. I woke you up and you had purposely didn't wake up.
The spell was powerful. It overtook my body.
I heard you say a few more minutes.
I think that was the spell, I would assume.
What do you guys do? I mean, as you look around, you see that this is this sort of, like, almost this, like, veil of this dark purple kind of crackling insectoid energy kind of washes over you and dissipates. Deuter, you've just defeated this thing that was threatening you with this this sort of insectoid patron that you have. You know, before it was a little more vague in your head, and now it's crystallized into more of a specific image as you see this sort of dark visage of a kind of like an insect queen in your brain. Look, not dissimilar to the creature before you that was had its head chopped off. You guys are just on this beach now.
I kind of put my hand on my rapier and look at both of them a little bit like, what, like, all right, what happened? You seem some sort of beetle-ish. You seem a little evil. What happened?
Not evil, you know, we've all just made choices in our past that sometimes the choice catches up with you, right?
Forgiven.
Thank you.
And I only seem kind of beetle-ish because I was bit by a beetle. But as soon as this goes down, I'll be normal again.
Hang on a second. The thing on her back kind of looked like the thing on your back.
Yeah. Just the bump, right? Just the bump. There's not a beetle in my back.
But, like, did the thing that bit you come out of somebody or something? Like, you're not going to... You're not about to, like...
You guys, I feel
shoot
fine.
One of them out of you, right?
See one medical professional.
We kind of have, like, let it go for a while where you've had the beetle bite and we haven't really looked into it. Then I see this lady and she's got a huge lump on her back similar to yours and then a huge giant beetle pops out of it.
Kind of and implied I, that soon something would happen to you, similar.
Kerp's going to walk over to you and rip your shirt off.
Let me take a look.
I'm a priest.
Hey.
You can't figure it out.
Looks what gross. Are you doing? What are you, stop, you're stretching out my collar.
Sorry, I ruined this shirt's ruined. That's my bad. Anyone who wants to make a medicine check or look at it can, if you let them.
Yeah, it is feeling a little itchy. Could someone take a look at it?
I'll take a little medicine check on there.
Two
plus.
Get a really good look.
Four.
You doing?
I try to. Yeah, I'll try to. 18 for me.
Okay, Sago, you realize that Kerp did that and then can't figure it out and is just really sort of beating himself up for, like, how am I going to pay for the shirt? Like, it's really distractingly so. 18. On an 18, I think because you are so familiar with the presence of this, you feel like...
Oh, no.
As you look at this bump on Strundleteet's back... You don't really remember how this happened or when exactly this magic kind of caught up to you, but it is odd that you do not have it and Strundleteet has it. And something about your time spent with Strundleteet, maybe in some way you were in a situation where you kind of split the burden of this pact between the two of you. And so... maybe that's a reason why you aren't as negatively affected, is because Strundleteet has taken some of the burden by taking this bite for you. Unintentionally, maybe, but... and as you think about that, you do see sort of a wriggling in the bump.
Oh, shit. Strund,
what? What's going on?
You got something in you, my friend.
Joie de vivre.
Well, no, not... Yes, I mean, yes, of course. Plenty of joie de vivre. We've talked about this. We got to figure... I think you got one of these things inside of you, my man.
Kerp looks up and he's like... smells it. He's like, yeah.
Ew. I think you're going to need some sort of... I'm a priest, but like a better priest, to be honest.
What do you mean? You can't do anything?
No.
Bless me. Bless my bum.
Bless my friend.
Bless you.
That was a sneeze, bless you.
Oh, well, I can't. My magic is not... You need, like, so there was a reason that they kind of sent me on to, like, the top of a mountain and left me alone to get dusty. You're going... I wonder... There might be one in the next town, but I think that a much more powerful... Out of Kerp's language, maybe a greater restoration, like a much more powerful cleric spell is what you would need for the... yeah, that's what you would glean from that, I think.
Listen, Sago, I'm so sorry, okay? I didn't mean to get you wrapped up in this, you know, just an opportunity presented itself. You seem like a strong guy. You have gotten us out of some pickles, my friend, and we appreciate everything that you've done for us. Thank you for helping us take care of this. We did not mean to get you involved in all this.
Wow, apologies are really great after all the bad stuff has happened. Thank you. Maybe take a look at your behavior. You lied to me through your teeth nonstop since we met. Now I'm in the middle of nowhere. I don't know where to go.
We're on a beach. We're on a beach, and I cut that lady's head off. That's not so bad.
That's really bad. I didn't want to see someone decapitated in front of me.
Well,
it's been a tough
week.
This
experience made you stronger, right? Like, now you've been through something that made that toughened the skin on your back.
Before you were just a guy. Now you're Sago Glegg, river monster who killed a beetle.
That's not what happened.
You could write a song or do a thing about this.
Like, I have an idea for a song. Diarrhea, cha-cha-cha.
Kerp with the first good idea of the trip. Diarrhea, cha cha cha. Diarrhea, cha cha cha.
Are you doing a little train dance together when you toss
everyone's
your fists
in
to
a
the air?
Conga line.
Yeah, that's what it is.
Cha cha.
Everybody, roll me a perception check as they cha cha cha.
16 for Duder.
Howdy, please.
10.
Stop. 18.
Okay, as they're cha cha chaing. Sago, you look behind you, and you, pretty far away, you hear tearing through the woods, "Get me back my boat!"
Oh, fuck.
I will say with that, "Ah, fuck," you guys get back in the boat, head downstream, eventually clearing out into what feels like regular feeling forest. You see that this small kind of tributary that you were traveling down feeds into like this medium-sized, to you, Sago, lake. I think to you guys it would probably be a much bigger lake, but Sago has seen much bigger lakes on this podcast, and you would know that this is not the Sapphire Lakes, but you're headed closer, and you see that several rivers feed into this one little area. It's sort of like a crossroads of rivers where you see this sort of larger almost like logging establishment. Sago, you would know that this is not a town you've been to before, but it feels a little similar to where you just left, in that it's like, you know, on the water, there's some like trade looking stuff happening. Looks much bigger than that, though. Like it's clearly like a bunch of rivers meet here, and it's an area of like commerce, and it's more of a small town. You see a guy fishing on the waters who looks up kind of quizzically at you guys. He's like, I thought the river was shut down. Hey, welcome.
Hey there. Just passing through.
Okay. Welcome to Kennybrook.
Sorry, we're a little lost. We got a little diverted there.
Okay.
My name's Sago. We're looking for a place to kind of regroup, I think, maybe here. What's okay. going on here?
It's kind of low season for us because no one can travel down that road. So a lot of different taverns and inns to go to, all pretty open. A lot of rooms available as well. Let's see. A lot of food, a lot of baths. A lot of good stuff in town.
We're kind
of
trying to be somewhere by a certain time, so we might roll through here. It seems like it's pretty dead
right,
anyway.
I'll see y'all later.
Good call, Sago. That was weird.
It seemed a little too convenient.
Kerp comes up to both of you, Strundle T and Duder, and goes, "Maybe in this town we can ditch this guy." You know, the three of us is
awesome. Isn't this your best friend?
Yeah. I mean, it was. I'm always looking for the next thing, you know?
I could sense that about you.
I think this is the start of a beautiful friendship. And Sago, as you get into this town, that it seems like you want to roll right through. You do think that you find yourself one step closer to getting to Solemnport. Even the guy who's like, "This is Kennybrook," I want to say 6 days north of Solemnport.
Mm. That's where I'm heading.
Get out of town.
I'm trying to.
Well, I mean, you know, that's all I got for you guys. Did you encounter anything that was difficult, but not as difficult as I thought it would be?
No, more difficult than I thought. I was just trying to take a nap on the way here.
I wanted to sleep at the last place we were at. I didn't even want to leave that place.
As you guys get into this town, having defeated the sort of beetle creature and the insectoid patron warlock along your trail and easily escape Shep. What do you do with the boat as you get into town?
What do you think? Should we sink her?
Yeah, I think we should. I go down and I pull the patch off of the hole in the bottom of the boat and the body. I guess there's still pieces of the body down there, and unplug it, like pull off the patch and just let it start sinking.
If I remember
off.
From my religion check earlier, this is exactly what he would want.
Yeah. Okay. I'm going to make a check over here. Okay, the guy in the side of the water made an insight check, and he just nods. He's like, "We like to respect the customs of anybody who comes into town." And as the boat sinks, and you hear the muffled screams of a man running into town, like, "Nothing better happened to my boat." I'll say you guys escape into the this larger town unseen, and that's where we'll end this arc. Probably the dumbest ending of any arc we've had on the podcast so far. Yay! Woo! Oh God. Well, thank you to Dan, to Ryan, to John for being on the podcast. Thanks for bringing Probably the hardest to describe in terms of what the adventure was, arc yet. I think I'm excited to maybe check back into with these characters a different time and see who they meet, who they run into that has already been on the podcast.
Do have to cure this guy's bug.
Yeah,
beetle bite.
Strundleteed. Yeah, as you escape into town, you feel the wriggling of this beetle in your shoulder.
I'm starting to get a little hunch on my right side.
Uh-oh. And yeah, so with this, we end the arc. So let's go around for one more little round of plugs as we end the episode. We'll start with Don.
At Dan Lipper Cool on all social media, Man Dog Pod, the podcast, and biggrounderwebsite.com.
Beautiful. Ryan.
At Chosenberg on all the social media stuff. And yeah, same thing. Check out Big Grande and Man Dog.
Y'all.
And I'm at It's John Mackey on all social media. And then obviously biggrandewebsite.com. And also you can now, since we recorded the last episode, launch the Patreon for the Brett DeMott Show. So you can find that at patreon.com/Brett DeMott Show.
Excellent. Well, thank you all for coming. It's been so fun playing with y'all. Hat Sakoyama and stuff. And I'm promoting the podcast that you are listening to. Well, thanks for listening. That's been Arc 10. Oh, bye.